Blog Talk Radio.
I've been in every right place, but I must have been the wrong time. I could have left right there if I'd ever heard that age line. I was in the back pew, and I didn't stay the whole time. Should have sent him on a long trip, but he would have come back sometime. I've been in every right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I was in the back pew, 20 years is a long, long time. Tears, ranting and raving had escaped me somehow. Must have had my iPod turned up way too loud. He's taking my name in vain on national TV. If I'm gonna win this thing, I got to cut him free. I've been in the right place, but I must have been the wrong time. I might have left right then if I ever heard the age line. I was in the back pew, and I didn't stay the whole time. Should have sent him on a long trip, but he would have come back sometime. Today, I want to denounce the man that last month I couldn't denounce any more than my old racist white grandmother, Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Why? Because I want to win. I'm not going back to Wright's place. I'm going to have to rewind. I was in the back pew, and I only win at election time. Since he's been in my face, the campaign's in a bad way. Should have watched him on TV instead of going down to Wright's place. I've been around the right place, but I must have been the wrong time. Would have left right there if I'd ever heard the age line. I was in the back pew, and I didn't stay the
Micah 4, verse 3. Micah 4, verse 3. Micah says, God shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. Can anybody decide to read this afternoon? Name a strong nation afar off from Israel. That would be us.
Hello?
You as us.
Now what?
Sorry, Pam. Don't talk about me in your book. Talk to Micah. Read Micah's book. Now listen, neither Hannity, Beck, O'Reilly, nor the Tea Party would have liked Micah at all. Micah sounds, when you read his work, Micah sounds like a left-wing liberal. He sounds like a liberation theologian. Plus, Micah was black. That would make him a black liberation theologian. Instead of preaching prosperity and capitalism, mistakenly called Christianity, Micah sounded like a socialist. Micah almost sounds like a Marxist. Read his work. Dr. King said, we are fighting a three-headed dragon.
Right.
It is not just racism, but it is also capitalism and militarism.
Right.
And failure to understand that reality is to miss the main message of Mark 5, where Jesus confronts the demon and asks the demon, what is your name? But you know, we got far too many believers today who are not willing to name the demon.
Palestinians hemmed in, keep Palestinians cut off from their families, their olive garden.
having their only means of making a living praising God, these Christian ministers, while sick Palestinians are dying at checkpoints and ambulances, and Israeli soldiers will not let them through so they can get their medication. Church boys who get their praise on in GA.
TV. If I'm gonna win this thing, I got to cut him free. I've been around the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. Might have left right there if I ever heard the age line. I was in the back view, and I didn't stay the whole time. Should have sent him on a long trip, but he would have come back sometime. Today, I want to denounce the man that last month I couldn't denounce any more than my old racist white grandmother, Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Why? Because I want to win. I'm not going back to Wright's place. I'm going to have to rewind. I was in the back pew, and I only win in election time. Since he's been in my face, the campaign's in a bad way. Should have watched him on TV. Instead of going down to Wright's place, I've been around the right place, but I must have been the wrong time. What left right there?
Yeah. Reverend Wright.
I was in the back pew.
Jeremiah Wright. I think he has turned on Mr. Obama.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of sad to watch, but it's very interesting all at the same time. Jeremiah Wright calling out President Barack Obama for actually behaving presidential. I didn't think they'd ever get to this point. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. Well, let's get it all started here. Today's date is March 21, 2011, Washington, D.C., planet Earth, third planet from the sun. Once again, I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. The call-in number is 347-884-8500, toll-free for those of you who are on a budget, 877-666-9305. Okay. You know, the news, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. First, let me get a hit this clip right here of my main man and yours, President Ronald Wilson Reagan. Check him out.
Goal of a world revolution, Muslim fundamentalist revolution, which is targeted on many of his own Arab compatriots. And where we figure in that, I don't know, maybe we're just the enemy because it's a little like climbing Mount Everest, because we're here.
That's exactly right. America, under President Ronald Reagan, was the last beacon of hope for democracy, for any country that wanted it. Farrakhan, President Barack Obama's good buddy, Louis Farrakhan, went on a rant on Chicago radio on racist WVON. It's an historic black radio station. It's been around for quite a while. I listened to it when I was a kid, and it was a blues station run by Purvis Spann. He was called Purvis Spann, the blues man. Anyway, it was a pretty good radio station at the time. But Louis Farrakhan went on a rant because his good buddy Barack Obama wasn't doing what he thought. You know, Farrakhan is very close to Gaddafi. They're actually pretty good friends. So Louis is really upset with President Obama for dealing so harshly with Gaddafi. Check it out. It's humorous and sad all at the same time.
You told the president, you said, be prepared because it will be coming to your shores, America, to your door, you said. And your advice to Obama was to remember the words you're making to other nations.
Well, today, our dear brother, you know, has to be very, very careful in this decision that he and his Secretary of State and Sarkozy and Prime Minister Cameron and others are planning. They would love to go into Libya and kill Brother Gaddafi and kill his children as they did with Saddam Hussein and his sons Qusay and Uday. You must remember, dear people of America, that whenever government wants you to think and act in a certain way that would bring justification to an action that they are already planning to make, they must make the person that they hate a boogeyman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody wants civil war. It is the bloodiest of all kinds of wars because you're fighting your own brothers. You're fighting the people of your own language and culture and history. So in every nation, brothers and sisters, there is dissatisfaction. And what the CIA does is go into a country and move among the people that are dissatisfied to stimulate a revolt against a leader that they don't like because they want regime change. I want to be specific. When George W. Bush was president, he said they wanted regime change in Iran, in Korea. Regime change. How do you get regime change, honest America? How do you do that? Congress, the Congress of the United States, voted to spend $150 million to replace the government in Iran that America doesn't like. So they send their agents in to work among the dissatisfied. So when they had this election and the people in Iran rose up, they have legitimate grievances, all right, but stimulated from the outside. So President Obama didn't want to put his foot into that cage. Let somebody say America inspired it because it was America's policy to destabilize that government. Well, what about Libya? Mm-hmm. See, how much money is being spent to arm the so-called rebels? Mm-hmm. They're dissatisfied. Well, what is their dissatisfaction about? Do they have jobs? Yes. Do they have food? Yes. Has Gaddafi used the oil money to build Libya? Yes. Did Gaddafi use oil money and discover water under the Sahara Desert and brought that water to the surface and brought water from Benghazi all the way to the border almost of Tunisia? Did he impose farming in the desert so that they could feed their own people? Yes. Are there billions of dollars that he's spending building homes, building apartments for his people? Yes. So something is under this. And so when America, England, France, three imperialist powers want to destabilize that country, is it that you saw?
Just to, you know, you don't have a visual here, but there's a really big black dude standing just behind the Lewis Reverend Farrakhan. He looks like he's just about to fall asleep, and as if he'd much rather be somewhere else. If you want to check it out, go ahead and go to Fox Nation and take a look. It is hilarious. Check it out. I'm going to get back to the audio here because it's even more hilarious.
Is it that you're so concerned over the blood that is being shed in Libya when you look the other way when the Israeli Defense Force was bombing the innocent people of Gaza? Unarmed men, women, and children, but our government looked the other way. You looked the other way when the Israeli Defense Force went into Lebanon thinking that they were going to have an easy victory. Then you had to come out with your tail between your legs. Don't tell me and wise black people or white people that you're interested in black suffering. Where were you in Rwanda? Where are you in the Congo? Why did you go to Darfur? Because oil is there. No, you don't want to save the Libyan people. That's your noble motive to hide your wicked agenda. Now, I want to warn you in the name of Allah that this is more complex than what you think.
Wait a minute now. Is he warning the President of the United States in the name of Allah? Could it be that the Secret Service should consider paying a visit to Mr. Farrakhan? Because the last time that I'm aware in my lifetime that he warned another man in the name of Allah was when Malcolm X was killed. And it is widely believed in the African-American community, the black community, and in the Muslim community in the Chicago area that the minister, Louis Farrakhan, is directly responsible for the assassination of Malcolm X. It's not just a rumor. Even Malcolm X's oldest daughter attempted to have Farrakhan assassinated. It was all in the news back in the mid-80s. She attempted to have Louis Farrakhan assassinated because she believed and had evidence to support her belief that Louis Farrakhan warned Malcolm X in the name of Allah not to speak out against Muslims in the New York City area. Because apparently Malcolm X had an epiphany that being a Muslim was much more about a lot of different things other than just what was the militant movement that was going on at the time. There was much that the religion was being distorted by so-called, quote, Muslims, end quote, black Muslims, end quote, quote, black Muslims, end quote, in in Chicago and New York and Detroit and areas like that. So the Louis Farrakhan, the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan threatened Malcolm X, and a week later, Malcolm X was assassinated. So perhaps if the minister, Louis Farrakhan, who looks as though he's just about to keel over from a massive coronary or perhaps a stroke, unfortunately he did not, if he's going to warn the president of the United States in the name of Allah, perhaps the Secret Service need to pay him a visit and maybe tighten up that presidential detail a little bit, because that warning seems ominous to me. Let's play it again, because he's warning the president of the United States of America.
People or white people that you're interested in black suffering. Where were you in Rwanda? Where are you in the Congo? Why did you go to Darfur? Because oil is there. No, you don't want to save the Libyan people. That's your noble motive to hide your wicked agenda. Now, I want to warn you in the name of Allah that this is more complex than what you think. Go into Libya if you want to. The Libyans do not want foreign occupation on their land. And when you make that kind of move, if you're not careful, you unite the Libyan people against you. And again, Gaddafi wasn't sitting in any tent twiddling his thumbs over these last 10 years. This man has been investing in African development. This man has been moving throughout Africa. This man has friends all over the world. He may not be your friend, but if you take him out and kill him like he's some rotten fella that wants to kill his own people, what did you do in Waco?
Wait a minute now. He is a rotten fella that wants to kill his own people. The minister, Louis Farrakhan, is and has for some time been considered a lunatic. He suffered from prostate cancer not so long ago, and it was widely speculated that he would be gone by now, but apparently he's still here. According to Muslim belief, they eat, they have a certain diet, and his diet is supposed to be is accredited for his longevity, although back in 2000, I personally saw him in a Taco Bell in Indiana just before I got on the Indiana Turnpike to head back to Chicago. I kid you not, he and his whole troop went into the Taco Bell, and there can't be any good food in that place. Nevertheless, let's continue on with the audio.
What did you do when your people rose up? Did you talk them out of it? No, they had weapons. You bombed them. What did you do in Philadelphia with the movement? Did you talk them out of their home, or did you bomb them? We didn't hear any outcry from you religious hypocrites that love the lives of human beings. You're a liar and a hypocrite. And I warn my brother, don't you let these wicked demons move you in a direction that will absolutely ruin your future with your people in Africa and throughout the world. They don't like the way you handle Mubarak. They don't like the way you're handling the situation in the Arab world. So I would advise you to be careful and move with wisdom and skill. My advice would be, why don't you organize a group of
What's up with the organizing thing? What's going on with black folks and organizing and the whole where were you when this happened and where were you when that happened and all that? What is going on here? It's humorous. Organize and what?
Set
sit American and ask for a meeting with Gaddafi. You can't order him to step down and get out. Who the hell do you think you are? That you can talk to a man that built a country over 42 years and ask him step down and get out? Can anybody ask you? Well, there's a lot now going to ask you to step out of the White House because they don't want no black face in the White House. Be careful, brother, how you handle this situation, because it is coming to America. It has already started. Look in Wisconsin. Look in Ohio. Look at what's going on in your country. And remember your words, because the American people are rising against their own government. It's not Muslims. It's not black people. It's white militia that are angry with their government, and they are well armed. Are you going to tell them, put your arms down and let's talk it over peacefully? I hope so. But if not, America will be bathed in blood, not because Farrakhan said so, but because the dissatisfaction in America has reached the boil.
All right. Even though this clown threw that caveat in there, that disclaimer, not because Louis Farrakhan said so, it sounded a lot like to me like Louis Farrakhan was threatening the president of the United States and the government in general with a violent uprising. Now, maybe I'm just reading it wrong. You know, maybe I'm hearing it wrong. It could be. Maybe I'm just not really getting what Farrakhan is saying because he's so passionate about what he's saying. But again, I'll go ahead and repeat it because it bears repeating. Louis Farrakhan is alleged to have said the exact same words 1 week before Malcolm X was assassinated, and it is widely believed in many circles that Louis Farrakhan was responsible for the death of Malcolm X, that he had a hand in planning it and having it carried out. Malcolm X's own daughter, believe this, is supposed to have had evidence to support her belief, and as a result, put a hit out on Louis Farrakhan, and it was discovered that she had done so, and she spent a little time in jail. And so now, Louis Farrakhan is saying the same thing to President Obama, pointing his finger. I don't know where he was pointing his finger, but he was pointing somewhere and spitting all into the mic, and it looked like his head was about to explode. Unfortunately, it did not. He is warning his brother. He is warning the President of the United States, issuing a warning. Huh. Wow. It's getting thick, isn't it? Well, let's see what he has to say here. The million man math.
You may be surprised to learn that 1 plus 1 equals 19. The secrets to this ancient mathematical system are now revealed in the Million Man Math Made Easy video system.
Do you ever wonder why things just don't add up and you don't understand the division? Need answers? Well, now there's help. Hi, I'm Minister Louis Farrakhan, and with my Million Man Math Made Easy, you'll be able to go through life knowing who's got your number and why. Learn the secret about the 12 letters in Rush Limbaugh's name, the 7 so-called board members of the Federal Reserve System, and what they add up to. Learn a unique multiplication system that can turn a half a million into over 2 million, and that's just T-shirt sales alone. This Million Man Math system, stolen from our ancestors many years ago, is now available to you. So order today. Make sure you count.
The Million Man Math Made Easy video system. Available today for just $9.95.
Wait a minute! Don't you listen to some white cracker named Johnny! You can order it for $59.95. Order today.
Okay. Okay, now let's move along here. Now, piling on is my favorite fat man and yours, Michael Moore. He's ripping Obama over what's going on in Libya, probably pissed at him because he was unable to stop what has occurred and what the inevitability of the law that's going to be put in place to limit the collective bargaining of unions in Wisconsin. So he's probably pissed at the president for that. So anti-war, anti-capitalist, anti-whatever suits him and would sell tickets to his horrible movies, Michael Moore tore into President Obama. Tore him a new one for taking military action against Libya. Moore, who is a frequent, or was rather a frequent critic of President Bush for launching the Iraq War, unleashed a string of tweets comparing the U.S. military's mission in Libya to Iraq and Afghanistan using a mantra coined by Charlie Sheen. Okay. It went a little something like this, and I quote, "It's only because we're defending the Libyan people from a tyrant. That's why we bombed the Saudis last week." Huh, that didn't really make any sense. He goes on, and we always follow the French's lead. Next thing you know, we'll have free health care and free college. Yay war. None of these crazy tweets make any sense, and neither does Michael Moore. Moore's comments came after the U.S. launched 110 Tomahawk missiles at military targets in Libya. And they were part, and that was part of an allied effort to prevent forces loyal to Libyan leader Colonel Muammar Gaddafi for overtaking the rebel-held city of Benghazi. Now, let me just touch on something here. How long has Gaddafi been only a colonel? Is that like the highest rank in Libya, colonel? Because he's been a colonel for like 40 years. Is he so inept that for him, colonel is the limit? Shouldn't he be like a general Gaddafi by now? I mean, a 4-star at least? He's been a colonel forever. Or maybe he retired as a colonel. But if he runs the country, can't he come back and make himself a general? But why only a colonel? Because it probably sounds good, colonel. Like in the South, Colonel Sanders, you know, Colonel Beauregard, blah, blah, colonel this, colonel that. Anyway, enough with the humor. That can be called that. The strikes on Libya began on the 8th anniversary of the beginning of the Iraq War. Obama explained Saturday that the U.S. and its allies acted to protect the Libyan people from a potential massacre. A little bit too late. Obama went on to say, "Make no mistake, today we are a broad coalition. We are answering the call of a threatened people, and we are acting in the interest of the United States and the world." Like, really late. Who do you want to answer that call at 3 a.m.?
It's 3 a.m. Your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House, and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call.
Hello? Now what? Again? On Air Force One? He picked her up at the mall? She doesn't have a green card?
We don't know what to do.
Okay. This one's easy. Deport her back to Thailand ASAP. And don't ask her age this time. Got it?
Yes, ma'am.
good.
It's 3 a.m. Your children are safe and asleep. Shouldn't you choose the candidate who has the most experience answering that phone at 3 a.m.? Hillary Clinton for president. Where will you?
Okay, apparently Hillary got her wish, even though she did not win the election. She did not become president of the United States. Apparently, she's still answering the phone. She's the one answering the phone at 3 a.m. because Barack Obama is on vacation. He's on vacation, pictured touring all the sites, kicking soccer balls with little boys, lots of photo ops, and Hillary is apparently bouncing from country to country to country, five countries so far, talking to leaders, world leaders and heads of state, Nicolas Sarkozy and other leaders, handling this business. And Barack Obama is on what his administration calls a, quote, working vacation, end quote. So, once again, you know, I hate to beat a dead horse, but while the world is going to hell in a handbasket, Barack Obama golfs, he vacations, he holds lavish parties in the White House for stars and starlets, parties with basketball teams and throws basketball parties. Basketball. I mean, how embarrassing is that if you're a black person? I mean, come on. I couldn't help myself. Now, throwing basketball parties, filling out his basketball slots, once again, slightly embarrassing. And in addition to that, he's partying with Stevie Wonder. All of this is going on. I think he's the Antichrist too. GDT 183. Tesla knows I believe this, and Tesla had a show a couple of weeks ago that spoke to my beliefs and the beliefs of others. I'm not sure Tesla believes it or not, but I certainly do. But yes, I believe that he is. And so Obama's partying like a rock star. He's partying like it's 1976, and Hillary's out handling the business. One wonders, did we elect the wrong president? I mean, if it wasn't going to be McCain, the only person who seems to be qualified, who said she was qualified, is actually the one handling all the business. Yeah, really, GDT 183. We had a show about that a couple of weeks ago. So Barack Obama, not handling the nation's business, partying like it's 1967, and bungling this whole thing. President Obama said there is no conflict between the limited goals of the Allied military operation in Libya and his own calls for Muammar Gaddafi to relinquish power. Obama said that the U.S. is acting with other nations to enforce the United Nations mandate resulting from concerns that Gaddafi was attacking civilians and that the airstrikes and missile attacks on Libyan air defenses are intended to address a humanitarian crisis. Now, my main man and yours, House Speaker John Boehner, an Ohio Republican, yesterday called on Obama to do a better job of communicating to the American people and to Congress about our mission in Libya and how it would be achieved. But President Obama has no experience in these matters. And to be fair, not many presidents did until these things happened, but he doesn't seem to be taking it all in. He doesn't seem to be taking it all very seriously. He's hanging out. I mean, even if you need to go out of town, out of the country, to do business, because apparently his administration is saying that he needs to be there in order to help facilitate job growth here in the United States. And so he's hanging out in Brazil so he can, you know, help foster those relations that will help build jobs here in the country, in our country. Okay, even if that's the case, why let yourself be seen kicking a soccer ball, having a grand time And why are you taking your mama-in-law with you? How embarrassing is that? If the, you know what, if for no other reason at all Obama is a candy ass, it's because he's toting his mother-in-law on trips where he's supposed to be conducting business. And doesn't Sasha and Malia have school? I mean, they're going to be gone for a while. Is somebody tutoring them or what? Why would you go anywhere with your mother-in-law? Isn't this a good way to get out of town? So you can get away from your mother-in-law? But he's toting her around. What a henpecked chump he is. What a candy ass. I'm going to tell you something right now. You know, on Tesla's show yesterday, Tesla suggested that Obama knows exactly what he's doing and that there's an agenda behind it. And I somewhat agree with that, but then it's hard. It's really hard to agree because what this guy's doing just seems to be so disastrous and counterproductive and destructive. How could you let yourself be seen hanging out, kicking a soccer ball, having a good time while your country's pretty much at war? Tomahawk missiles are flying. People are being killed. Civilians, warriors, there's violence going on. Don't let yourself be seen having a good time while this sort of thing is going on. But one has to say that this guy has no skills. The only skills he has is reading that damn teleprompter. You can't be a leader and do some of the things that he's doing. He is a bad president, GDT 183. He's a bad president because he doesn't know any better. He doesn't have the skills. Well, to call him the Antichrist might be a stretch. It might be. I sometimes think it is a stretch. But one can't ignore all the really bad things that are happening, starting with the guy's ascension to the presidency. All the things that are slated to happen right around this time in the book of John and Revelations. So many of the things that Revelations teaches us are happening right now and are happening in the time of Barack Obama's presidency. Coincidence? Yes, perhaps. I mean, I'm not seriously into the conspiracy thing. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes. I mean, you name it, birds falling out of the sky for no apparent reason. Famine. All sorts of things that are happening. I'm going to talk about it later on this week on a show dealing with Revelations and end times. Once again, I do it once every month or so, bring people up to date, but just to touch on it a little bit, all the things that are going on coinciding with this guy's presidency, yeah, we'll talk about it later on in the week, but right now, the president is being criticized on all sides for just not doing his damn job. You know, apparently, liberals believe that it was an asset that it was an asset for the president to be detached and cool. You know, we're talking about how cool he was and how detached he was and how he was so Spock-like. That's because he didn't give a damn. He didn't really care. You know? The only time those Dumbo ears perked up was when somebody said something that he didn't like about him. You know? Him personally. What an ass. I mean, I'm serious. The Reverend Wright got all in this guy's face. Farrakhan, liberals are jumping all over him. Democrats are all over him. I almost feel sorry for him, but no, not quite. Any of us would wonder what the hell is going on with this dude. I mean, come on.
Where will you be when diversity strikes?
I want to welcome you aboard Atlantic Airlines this morning. We're currently cruising at 32,000 feet. Just a reminder, Atlantic Airlines is committed to diversity. And as proof of that commitment, I've been allowed to fly you to Toledo this morning. I mean, who would have ever thought they would make me, Miles Mason, your pilot? I mean, just yesterday, I was serving sodas and pretzels in the back. I washed out at Bob's School of Flight. So this is a real dream come true for me. If anyone is interested in landing this baby, come on up here and read the manual. We've got 15 minutes before touchdown.
Where will you be the next time diversity strikes?
Where will we be? Any of us. Any of us. In two to 5 minutes, can see how it could all be reversed. A full-fledged effort to develop all our energy resources, from nuclear to natural gas, radical cuts in public spending, closed borders, fiscal sanity, and pay-as-you-go legislation, along with a return to merit instead of situational pleading. Given our wealth and talent, in 4 years we could balance the budget, slash energy imports, and make schools work far better with fewer dollars. Folks, decline is a state of mind and proceeds so often from the dreams of utopianism or the creed that a new generation can change human nature, eliminate war, legislate peace and inequality, and enforce equality of result. Alone through state power wielded by enlightened despots and philosopher kings amid imposed civility. And in response, the productive, highly taxed upper middle class become alienated, convinced that their efforts will not lead to their own self-interest, which would be advancement. So they adopt quietism, a sort of psychological hibernation from society, a disconnect, if you will, where they virtually drop or hide out from popular culture, a theme as old as characters in Plato, Socrates, and Euripides, authors who at times focused on those so resistant to the redistributive, I can never say that word right the first time out, the redistributive Athenian state, or Athenian. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to turn us into Belgium. Not at all. In America's case, these are choices, not fate. The Constitution of the United States is still here, should we wish to follow it. Our ancestors left us freeways, airports, and universities, and a rich infrastructure. Napa Valley, Silicon Valley, and Central Valley, agriculture here in bankrupt states of America are still sources of amazing ingenuity and enormous wealth creation. Even with nearly 9% unemployment, the official number, millions rise at 6 a.m. to go to work. Millions work the night shift. It requires constant sloganeering about inequality to dim the enthusiasm of Americans, middle America everywhere. It demands massive social engineering to create huge public workforces to administer redistributive entitlements. The government must enhance a new privileged elite to go over to the side of crony capitalism and insider favoritism of the GE sort. The government encourages a new demonized them. The Obama administration encourages a new demonized them and a defined us. The Abyss says somewhere around the Obama's $250,000 line of annual income, this administration requires an ideology of envy and jealousy and the exit of moral responsibility for oneself. This administration dictates that most personal unhappiness emanates from not having what someone else supposedly does. And this administration, well, will seek to rectify that by state action rather than personal improvement. And that's going to be hard to do here in America. But this administration will try. It's interesting to note, amidst all the crises that are going on, the Japan's earthquake and subsequent tsunami and nuclear issues, along with Libya, what's going on in Bahrain. It's interesting to note that we still have a lot going on here that seems to have taken a bit of a back seat with all the other things that are going on in the world. And I wonder what President Obama thinks of all that. Because I believe that he believes that all these things that are going on in the world are simply a distraction. I mean, he's being taken away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. How can he do that when these pesky little wars are piling up everywhere and earthquakes are happening and tsunamis, you know, all that biblical stuff. All that biblical stuff that we're supposed to, you know, it's all just inconvenient. I believe that underneath that, inside that empty suit, and that empty head of Barack Obama, because unlike Tesla, I believe that the guy's completely inept. Once again, Tesla believes that Obama knows exactly what he's doing. Spoke about it on his show yesterday. I'm not sure that I agree. I think all these things that are happening that are far above Obama's competency level are distracting him from his reelection campaign and from fundamentally transforming the United States of America into a socialist utopia where he's Robin Hood and he robs from the rich, those fat cats, and gives to the poor. The other day, the president issued a speech. Empty. Devoid of real emotion. Anybody could see right through it. None of it made any sense, except as an emotionless response to an emergency, which was Libya. And I understand the lack of emotion, because this is a quagmire for the president. It's a situation where he doesn't want to be in. His base is all up in arms right now. As dumb as I think he is, he had to know this was going to happen. Hell, he's got the minister, Louis Farrakhan, who is reported to be responsible for the death of Malcolm X, wagging his finger on black radio station in Chicago, Illinois, WVON, wagging his finger at the president, spitting all into the mic. It was gross. And warning his brother and asking his brother, Barack Hussein Obama, who the hell do you think you are? I want to warn you. It bears repeating for the third time that the minister, Louis Farrakhan, issued a very similar warning. In fact, the same warning. It was written down. Somebody wrote it down for posterity. He warned Malcolm X the exact same way. I don't know if he waggled his finger. But he warned Malcolm X. Does anybody think that the Secret Service should pay a little visit? If you got a wrestler, an ultimate fighting wrestler, saying that he wants to wrestle Barack Obama to the ground, or give him a smack or something, and he gets paid a visit, don't you think that the minister should get a visit, given his history? Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Well, perhaps we'll read about that in the future. Thank everyone for listening. Tesla, GDT, all the guests in the room, wish I knew who you are. Maybe I'll find out some future day. Thank you all for listening. And later on this week, we're going to get into this whole Barack Obama as the Antichrist once again. And we're going to talk about it, and we're going to get into how all of these things that are happening, these earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars, and how it all ties in to biblical scripture and John and Revelations, and we're going to talk about it. Thanks, GDT. Thanks, Tesla. Thanks, everybody else who's listening out there. All the folks who download the show from iTunes and listen on Blog Talk Radio, thank you so much. Have a wonderful night. It's going to be a great week. Love you all, and we will talk again. It's going to be great. Thank you.
What do I do now? Could we start again? I've been very hopeful so far. Now for the first time, I think we're going wrong. Hurry up and tell me, this is just a dream, or could we start again?
I think you've made your point. Get the message home before it gets too frightening. We ought to call a halt. So could we start again, please?
I've been living to see you, dying to see you, but it shouldn't be like this. This was unexpected. What do I do now? Could we start again? Could we start again? I think you've made your point now. You've even gone a bit too far to get the message home. Before it gets too frightening, we ought to call a halt. So could we start again? Could we start again?